This is our Pastimes Podcast, presented by USA Baseball. Here is your host, Joe DiRienzo.
Hello and welcome to our Pastimes Podcast. It is Thursday, July 9th. Coming up on today's show, the U.S. Pan Am Games men's baseball team has been assembled and got its first taste of action together in the America's Baseball Festival. Plus, the collegiate national team summer has come to a close, and the 18U national team trials wrapped up round one in Cary. But first, let's see what's leading off. After 17 games in three cities in North Carolina, the collegiate national team has wrapped up its summer with one last game against the U.S. Pan Am Games men's baseball team yesterday. They ended up with a 9-8 record, including a 3-2 series win against Cuba and a 4-3 series win over Chinese Taipei. The CNT started things off this summer in historic fashion in Game 1 against Cuba. Tanner Houck, A.J. Puck, and Ryan Hendricks combined for a no-hitter in the team's 2-0 win at the National Training Complex. This marked the first time that Cuba has ever been no-hit in international competition. Game 2 was another 2-0 shutout win for the collegiate national team. This time, Cuba managed just 3 total hits off of Dalton Jeffries, Logan Shore, and Steven Nagasek. Team USA clinched the series in true patriotic fashion on the 4th of July in Charlotte with an 11-1 win, fueled by homers by Ryan Howard and Charlotte-born Nick Banks. After their time together, I spoke with Nick Banks to reflect on the events of the summer. Joining me now on our Pastimes Podcast is U.S. Collegiate National Team outfielder Nick Banks. Nick, you played 17 games with the Collegiate National Team this year. How has the dugout changed from Game 1 to now?
Beginning, when we first got here, not a lot of people knew each other. They hadn't really played against each other or with each other. So it took a while for us to start really bonding. But I would say once the fourth game came around, you could tell the dugout was getting a little bit more giggly and stuff like that, just kind of messing around with each other. And I think that's when we made a turnaround and started putting wins together.
Yeah, you guys had a great run there, and I think the highlight of the summer, it doesn't matter whose perspective it was, but that 11-1 win on the 4th of July in Charlotte, your hometown, you hit a home run in that game. That must have been one of your better baseball memories, right?
Yeah, it's up there with one of my best. First getting to clinch the series against Cuba, and then hitting a home run in front of 20 or 30 of my family members. Didn't have the opportunity to play there last year because it got rained out, so was really looking forward to playing there this year, and I was just blessed enough to have a pretty good game in front of them.
Yeah, 20 or 30 family and 10,000 in the stadium, packed above capacity for that Charlotte stadium, so that was a pretty cool experience for you guys. You talked about winning this Cuba series last year. Obviously, you guys went to Havana with the collegiate team. What is an example of something that was maybe different this year with this group, just experience-wise, compared to last year?
Well, the Cubans, they weren't as young as they were last year. They were still talented, a little bit more savvy on the mound. They had good stuff, but they really knew how to locate and keep you off balance, and I think that was an adjustment that we really had to make through this Cuban series.
Absolutely. And after this experience, you've had these 20 or so guys that you've gotten to play with on Team USA. Yeah. And next year, you guys will go back to NCAA, to your individual teams, and you might get to face some of them. What do you think it'll be like seeing them again on the other side?
Kind of got to check yourself before you go play against them, because you get so close to them. You still got to take the game seriously when you're playing against them. But we're always going to have a forever long friendship. And that's something really special, and that's something that I'll take away from this whole experience.
Absolutely. And it was great watching you guys. You guys were a lot of fun this summer. Nick, best of luck with Texas A&M next year, and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Coming up next, a preview of the U.S. Pan American Games men's baseball team. You're listening to our Pastimes Podcast. Panini America is proud to be the exclusive trading card manufacturer of USA Baseball. Before the game's biggest superstars reach the show, they don the stars and stripes, and Panini America is there to chronicle that monumental step in a player's career with the most collectible trading cards, autographs, and memorabilia in the industry, all officially licensed by USA Baseball. Get yours today at your local trading card store or online at iCollectPanini.com. That's iCollectPanini.com. After a tune-up at the America's Baseball Festival with wins against Canada, Cuba, and the Collegiate National Team, the U.S. Pan American Games men's baseball team headed off to Toronto for the Pan Am Games. The team is comprised of non-40-man roster players from Major League Baseball, including five alumni led by seven-time alum Albert Almora. After the ABF wrapped up, I spoke with manager of the team, Jim Tracy, about the team and their goals heading into Toronto for the Pan Am Games. Joining me now on our Past Times podcast is the manager of the Pan Am Games team. It's Jim Tracy. Jim, what's the feel in the dugout been like as these players sort of transition from their minor league teams to joining USA?
Well, obviously, with the limited amount of time that we have getting together, I really believe moving forward, that is a very, very important element, you know, getting to know one another very quickly and getting involved with one another. And, you know, with just what we've done here since Sunday, I couldn't be more pleased with not only the interaction with one another, but also the way they've gone about their business, their attention to detail. In just a very short period of time, to say that a group of guys are ready to collectively go and compete for a gold medal, I'd say we're in a very good place right now, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this, the America's Baseball Festival, you sort of got a crash course in getting to know each other. Has any player stood out as someone that really seemed like the glue guy of the dugout?
Well, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that. You know, part of what I talked to them about on Saturday evening was basically an other-centered approach versus an I-centered approach. So to single anybody out, I think, is contradicting exactly what we just talked about on Saturday. But I think this, though, Joe, I think that we have a neat mixture of players here. We have some very young players. We have some guys that have played a little bit, actually some guys that have participated with Team USA in the past. And then we also have a couple of elder statesmen, if you will, in Casey Kochman and Brian Bogusevic. And I think that these two guys are a wonderful example, even for our guys that are kind of in the middle age bracket versus the younger guys, for them to be able to look up to these two guys as far as how you go about your business. They've been wonderful, wonderful additions to this team.
It's got to be a unique experience as a coach. Obviously, when you're in Major League Baseball and you change teams, the team has already been formed and you're sort of joining on. But this, everyone's new to each other. You all are sort of getting used to one another. Do the two experiences compare at all, trying to be reintroduced to a dugout when you're a manager versus this?
I don't really think so. I just think that there's something that's just extremely unique about this. And I think what it begins with is the letters across the front of the shirt.
Absolutely.
They say an awful lot. You know what? I've been so blessed to be a part of this game over the course of 34 years in the minor leagues, in the major leagues, managing 19 years between the minor leagues and the big leagues. This being my first opportunity here, I have been so reinvigorated with this challenge and have enjoyed these players in relation to what we're talking about and watching them come together in a very short period of time. I'm really, really excited about this experience and all we've talked about. There are medals to win, opportunities to win a medal. We're actually going there. We're looking forward to trying to win the medal. That's what we've been speaking at length about.
Absolutely. And you have experience in the pros as a manager in addition to coming here. I want to bring you back to that 2009 season. It's one of the more memorable ones, at least in my lifetime, seeing that Rockies team go from the beginning of the year struggling to you joining on, and you guys just went on a tear there, and you ended up manager of the year. When did you feel as though that team had just something that you couldn't explain, that was something special, that you guys realized we might have something here?
Well, I think once we got going together, the way they came together, it was just unbelievable to be along for the ride, if you will. I'll never forget it, like you just mentioned. It's one of the highlights of my career, obviously, as a manager. But, you know, as always, I am just so grateful to be given the opportunity to work with players. They mean an awful lot to me. They keep you young. But their energy, and once we got going, and believe me, Joe, I believe, you know, winning 17 out of 18 games will make a lot of teams think, hey, we're back in this thing and we have a chance. But I look at that season, there's so many things that could have happened that could have completely changed the outcome of that. But there was a pitch, there was an at-bat, and there was a play that was made those three different scenarios helped bring it all together and end up making it, a run of 74-42. That's not easily done.
Not at all. And hopefully you guys get that same feeling when you get off the plane in Toronto at some point. Best of luck representing Team USA over there in Toronto for the Pan Am Games. Jim, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
We'll close out today's show after this with a look at the end of the first round of 18U National Team Trials. There's only one way to get the exclusive gear worn by the players on Team USA, and that's from the USA Baseball Shop. For official licensed USA Baseball gear, everything from performance apparel to hoodies, jackets, t-shirts, hats, and more, head over to usabaseballshop.com and be sure to follow USA Baseball Shop on Twitter and Instagram for exclusive deals and new merchandise. Forty became 28 after round one of the 18U National Team Trials finished up after a week of intra-squad games and workouts at the National Training Complex. Of the 28 chosen to move on to round two at Cal State Fullerton starting in August, seven alumni are looking to add another national team appearance to their resume. Blake Rutherford and Austin Bergner continue their trend towards back-to-back appearances on the 18U National Team by making it to this next round. Hunter Green from the 2014-15U national team moves on as well, the youngest player still in the running to make the 18U team this year. And Nick Prado, Daniel Cabrera, Jordan Butler, and Mickey Moniak of the 2013-15U national team round out the alumni still in it. Over the course of the summer, we'll get to know some of these 28 players, starting today with infielder from Las Vegas, Nevada, Nick Quintana.
Joining me now on our Pastimes podcast is All-State shortstop from Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Nick Quintana. Nick, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll start here with you as a middle infielder, being at the 18U national team here. You get to work alongside Coach David Eckstein, a guy who has been at the highest level in the major leagues, All-Star, World Series MVP. What is it like sort of trying to take in everything you can from a guy like that?
You know, it's so surreal. I was actually talking to him last night when we went to the collegiate game when they played Cuba, and I was like, dude, I watched you at the World Series on TV, and I never thought ever I'd be taking ground balls as you, you know.
It's
the way baseball works, and I thought it was just amazing because he's got so much knowledge, and he can just pull it out of his pocket. He's pulling it, and I just look at him in awe. I'm like, oh, my God, it's David Eckstein, you know, like – one of the greatest infielders, and I can work with him. You know, he teaches me a few things, and it's just so surreal.
Yeah, it must be an experience that you're going to remember for a while.
Oh, definitely.
Now, I'm going to very quickly transition here from baseball to off the field, because we want to get to know you guys off the field as well, and you play guitar.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
How long have you been playing for?
You know, a few years, but it wasn't until about, I would say, 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, that I actually really sat down and really started to learn everything about the guitar, you know, just play a few tunes, just something I can wind down to.
Yeah. So it's more like a hobby that you use to, like, de-stress on everything?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Typically, I try to play it as much as I can, you know, when I'm home. I haven't really been home that much, so, you know, the few times I play it, I might be a little rusty, but, you know, I play it to wind down, relax. You know, I play some songs that I really like to play. You know, I play Good Riddance, Green Day,
nice.
Fade to Black. I'll play some White Stripes every now and then, some
very nice
Nirvana. But, yeah, I play it to, you know, unwind, relax, just get away from, you know, the phone, baseball, just relax.
Yeah, as a fellow guitar player, I know exactly what you mean. You sort of just get into trying to perfect whatever song you're starting to play. I have a Fender Stratocaster. What do you have?
You know, I'm more of a fan of, like, acoustic.
Nice.
So when Keith Urban, you know, came out with all of his new stuff, I just got his Keith Urban acoustic guitar. I really like it.
Oh, very cool.
And, you know, it's got a good sound to it.
So you've got a little bit of a mix of everything. You like Keith Urban. You've got his kind of guitar. You're playing Green Day and Nirvana. What's your musical taste? How would you describe it to someone?
You know, it's funny that you say Keith Urban, but I like pretty much all genres of music. Mm-hmm. Except country, pretty much.
So you've got a country sort of guitar.
Exactly. That's just it's a paradox of it. But, yeah, I like pretty much anything that I think sounds good, you know, puts me in a good mood, from, like, heavy rock to, you know, old classics like Benny King. Nice. You know, I like all that stuff. So.
Well, if you need a country guy to like that's more hard rock, Eric Church is actually a great guitarist. I got to see him live. So if
awesome.
You want to dive into country a little bit, Eric Church is probably your way in.
That's cool.
Well, you're here in Cary, North Carolina. Maybe that's where the country's coming from in the conversation. But, Nick, thanks for taking the time. Hopefully the guitar makes it next time you come out. Good luck with the 18U National Team.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That'll do it for today's episode of our Pastimes podcast. Remember to keep up to date with both the men's and women's national teams as the Pan Am Games begin in Toronto on July 10th. For today's guests, Nick Banks, Jim Tracy, and Nick Quintana, I'm Joe DiRienzo. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to USA Baseball's presentation of our Pastimes podcast. For upcoming episodes and the complete archive of our Pastimes podcast, find us on iTunes or head to usabaseball.com.